not hanging out these days amidst all this tragedy that we're hearing from over there and over here? Hey, this is Father Voskin. I am a priest of the Armenian Church connecting the dots, and today getting some help with a poet, Tiana of all people. Join us. This is episode number 425 of The Next Step.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The next steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
So I'm listening to a commentator last week. This is in the midst of all the news, everything that's happening in the world. We're hearing about tragedies. We're hearing about the politics, the senseless killing of people. And this commentator decides to quote John Lennon's Imagine. And he says, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Now, I put in that special reflection. Yeah, imagine living just for today, not for tomorrow, but for today. But he wasn't as generous as I was with these lyrics. He had a tone of, well, mockery in there too. He continued, imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do, nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living. And he stopped there and he goes, what does that sound like? Imagine, if you imagined a world like that. And I thought, well, what would you get? Imagine what? Peace. Yeah, if you didn't have those things, wouldn't you have peace? But he changed it and he said, you'd have chaos. Yeah, really? Not peace, not living in peace, you'd have chaos. And I guess for a certain number of his audience, you know, they were applauding and saying, yeah, right on. For me, it kind of drove the point home that, yeah, the only real chaos, the only time that you do have all of this awful stuff that's going on in the world is when you start believing that those borders are something more than man-made. That those definitions of how you perceive life are something more than man-made. No, we've created that. We've created our own circumstances, and we need to start unraveling all that. And brought home the point that what we're doing over here is not really all too bad. Basically, appealing to something called Armodoxy. Hey, I'm glad you're with us today. We've got a show for you. We've got a poet coming up in a few minutes. Yeah, a young lady. She's going to be sharing some poems and some thoughts that I think is going to touch a lot of you in a unique manner. That's coming up in the second portion of our show. Wanted to start off today by, well, first of all, we are recording at our Glendale studio, our Apostle West, affectionately called Apostle West. The last day we're going to be recording here, we are tearing down this studio, and yeah, there's some sentimentality. We began here 9 years ago, but you know, there's also the other side of that sentiment, that is, there's good things to come in the future. And so with the teardown, we're looking forward to some new things and new adventures in front of us. And we are recording on this very hot day and extremely hot over here in Southern California, with quite a bit of humidity as well from local fires. But wherever you're at, I hope you're comfortable. And if you're not, turn up the air conditioning or whatever you need to do and share these next few moments with us. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff, and I want to start off with some ideas about what's going on in Armenia, about the standoff that's taking place over there. And as you know, it's beyond the scope of this particular podcast to be addressing political situations. Nevertheless, there are issues where the people are standing up for basic human rights, basic rights that should be granted to people because nothing else than they're human. basically the idea for self-definition, the concept of self-determination, where you're going forward. And if the church needs to stand up for those kind of things, it does so because, well, the first church, essentially, that which Jesus Christ established, did exactly that, for self-definition, for finding that tranquility, that peace, which is beyond understanding. It's not something that military coups can resolve, but rather a coup of the heart. When you allow the goodness that's inside of you to take over your heart. And we talk about these kind of concepts as part of the Armadoxy movement. I mean, Armadoxy, if you think about it, and once again, we're seeing it over there. This is a small little land, Armenia. It's at the crossroads of three major continents. Every kind of dictator, every kind of barbarian has gone through that land, raped and pillaged not only the land, but the people. There's been wars. People have died. They've even seen genocide. And they've never really had any military strategy, nor the military. And yet they've survived. And that survival, if you look at it really closely, it's not based on that military presence. It's rather, it's something beyond themselves. And we found it. If you remember a few years ago when I shared with you upon returning from a very special pilgrimage where we had gone to the vortexes. You go into these churches, you go into these sanctuaries, and you realize that you're being consumed by something beyond you, that you can't understand it, you can't put your finger on it. Words escape you to be able to express, or for that matter, just to even define it. And yet you realize that there's something beyond yourself. You totally consume, you're taken away. You actually, you go into a different state of being almost. You transcend, you're transformed. And you realize that there is a power at play that's beyond the self. It's at the same time within you and at the same time without you. And so, yes, imagine what it would be like. You basically come to the point of not definition by words, but definition by the soul, of feeling that peace, feeling that inner tranquility. And that peace, if you think about it, is not defined, despite what they tell you out there, is not defined, or is it not attainable? Let's use that word. Is not attainable by guns and weapons and bombs. But that peace comes about when people decide that there is a reason to live in harmony, that it is attainable, that we can live in harmony once we start understanding that, hey, all around us are people too. The guy that you define as an enemy is also the child of one father and mother, just as you are. The person that's looking at you with hard stares also has a soft spot in his or her life. And so to be able to peer into that person and to find that softness, you start to realize that, you know, all of these boundaries that we've put in are man-made. We're the ones who define what is an enemy and what isn't. Can we look beyond those words, those definitions? Can we start seeing ourselves as people who have a common reason for existence? And in understanding that commonality, realize that we are all creatures. We are all creations of the same Creator. At the end of it, we're all brothers and sisters. And so it behooves us, and actually the only way that you can imagine that peace, you can attain that peace, is not by killing, not by destroying, but by finding that harmony. First in yourself, and letting it transcend yourself, so that you can become the bridge with others. I've been watching the political climate here in this country this last couple days. in the Democratic National Convention, last week in the Republican National Convention. And, you know, you look around and, yeah, I know, there's some real Lulus out there, real Lulus. But when you think about it, even politicians, you know how I feel about politics, even politicians, they come into it, they get involved in politics with altruistic reasons. They may have other reasons, but basically you want to do some good. But somewhere along the way, you get messed up. You're in the flow. And there's all kinds of things that bombard you. The need to make money, to prolong your existence as a politician. The need to define what you believe takes money. And so you sell yourself. You're a sellout. And somewhere along the way, you get messed up. Same is true for any profession, including me, priesthood, right? The priesthood. I've met all kinds of priests throughout my life. I think everybody goes into it. Let's not even say everybody. Let's say majority, okay? Majority of them enter the priesthood with very good intentions. To be a servant of Jesus Christ, to be able to proclaim the love of Christ, to bring hope to the people. But somewhere along the way, you get messed up because you've got to meet the daily needs for a variety of reasons. Perhaps it's power, and you get messed up. And along the way, yeah, there's some that don't, some that do. If you do get messed up, whatever it is, here's an opportunity to straighten up and go forward. At least I'm seeing this in the political arena. And if it's doable in the political arena, definitely it's doable in the religious and definitely in the personal arena as well. You've got all kinds of difficulties. You've got all kinds of problems in life. And you can look back and let it fester and get bigger and bigger, those problems. Or you can say that, you know, as a creation of God, I do have this love in my heart and I'm able to move forward. And in moving forward, you find others of similar interests. You find others that you can talk to, you can share with, and you start building that kingdom of peace. That's what the church should have been. That's what the church should be. Today we see that in Armenia, for instance, people are looking for that peace. They're looking to be able to define that peace. And they're appealing to military means. And it's tragic. It's really tragic. Because really, the church can be out there with the people and saying that this is the message. It's a nonviolent revolution. If you didn't get a chance to listen to last week's podcast, listen, because I went into some detail about nonviolent revolution. You can do nonviolent revolution. Hey, people like Gandhi did it. He wasn't a Christian, but he established it on the themes that Jesus Christ had spoken about. Nonviolent revolution. Dr. Martin Luther King, reverend of the gospel, led civil rights. Here in America, in my lifetime, I remember it. All based on what Jesus Christ had taught. And guess what? We have that. It's called Armodoxy. The belief of the Armenian church from the time of Jesus Christ, established by Jesus Christ, apostolic Armenian church belief, without all the hoopla. When we talk about church, you're talking about the organization, you're talking about structure and everything. How about if we could strip that all away and understand what the message is? And the message is very pure. And when you realize it, you realize how easy it is to obtain. You realize you're a creation of God. You have that love inside of you. And if you have it, guess what? The other person does as well. Because that person is a creation of God. Now, can we get that love to be talking to one another? Despite the difficulties, despite the problems. You're in a world that's being bombarded with all kinds of negative energy on all sides. You hear of different stories, of different tragedies. Guess what? Be able to proclaim that love inside of you is proclaiming the good news, the good message out to the people. And I know, yeah, I say it's easy. It's easy because if you try and you do it, yeah, you can do it. But there is the human element involved in it, which makes it difficult because you look at the world and you see people that are really genuinely messed up. and they're willing evil things on you, okay? Can you fight that fire with water instead of with fire? Despite what they tell you, fight fire with fire. No, you're going to fight fire with water. Well, that means fighting hatred with love. Is that so ridiculous today? It is by today's world standards, but that's what I meant earlier when I say you go and you realize that these are human boundaries that we've made. And the non-boundaries are the divine ones. So can you rise to that to that level? Can you transcend all of the nonsense that's around you and get to that level? Get to that level of the divine. I mean, think about it in terms of science. All systems seek an equal, a state of equilibrium, right? Everything. Nothing wants to be in chaos, though they'll argue, some scientists are arguing now that equilibrium states are also chaotic states. But think about it in pure science. I mean, think about when you take an ice cube out of your freezer and you put it at room temperature, right? It melts. Why? Because, well, the temperature, because the room conditions are such that you can't sustain that frozen state. Nor can it be steam because it's not hot enough. The equilibrium is to find the level that's room temperature. The same is true in our lives, every bit of our lives. We seek that equilibrium, which is peace. And it is attainable. It requires all of us to find that balance and that harmony in our lives. And these are not big concepts. They're logical concepts, but they have the added dimension of being logical based on what? Not just pure reason, but also feeling, spirit. That's the beauty of Armadoxy. It's holistic. It's not just about the mind. It's not just about the soul. It's not just about emotions, but bringing it all together, tying it all together, connecting all the dots. Why don't we take a break right now? We'll do the song of the day. Had a lot of requests a few weeks ago at Vartavar. We played for you some Dikran Hamasyan. Picking out another one for you. Enjoy it, and when we get back, I got a very special treat for you. Some melodies in a, well, without the music. Or the music that you might find in your soul. Yes, we're going to have with us Tiana. She's going to be sharing some poetry with you. Looking forward to that. Right now, enjoy Dikran Hamasyan. Thank you. Dikran Hamasyan off of the Makrud album. Hope you enjoyed it. We had a lot of requests for him after we played him a couple weeks ago at Vartavart, a very special one. I really loved that one. And of course, you've heard him from Lucy Lusso. Anyway, as we always tell you, there will be a link on today's show notes. Do support the artists. It's important that when you hear it and you like it, that you support them. There'll be a link to not only this song, but as well as all the other wonderful creations of that human spirit that comes from Dikran Hamasyan. You know, throughout the week, we've been hearing all kinds of news coming out of France, coming out of Europe, out of Turkey, out of Orlando, and people talking about these horrendous tragedies, these difficulties, and these absurd tragedies that are taking place. Sometimes they use the word terrorism, sometimes they don't. But you know what it is? It terrorizes you. It terrorizes you because you stop believing that tomorrow can be beautiful, and we lose hope. I struggle with this every Sunday when we offer the sacrifice. We tell people, this is hope. Sayagyang kuis harutyun. And yet you realize that it's very difficult to latch on to that hope. And then all of a sudden you meet somebody, as is the case for me. I met Tiana Falls several years ago, and last year I had a chance to listen to some of her poetry at a family gathering. She shared with me some poems. I'd say this is a person who has really understood it, except for her young age. And you have to say, okay, this is somebody that's really going places because she gets it at such a young age. I had a chance to invite her into the studio. We had an opportunity to share some thoughts and her poetry. Listen in and let me know if I'm not right when I say I'm not losing hope just yet. Here's Tiana. Well, I have with me Tiana Fowles. She is a wonderful young lady that I happened to meet along the years. And last week, as I was telling you about my Pokemon craze, she actually gave me a little bit of tutoring to, I was going to say, Pokemon, welcome. Tiana, it's so good to have you with us. I'm glad you're here. Tiana, you're 15 years old, right?
Yes.
And a poet. And I thought it would be great because I heard some of her poetry and I said, hey, would you come down here? So I'm really thankful that you're with us. First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're into, what you're doing.
So I'm 15, so I'm still in high school. I'm going into 10th grade, my second year of high school. I moved here, Glendale, from a town about 2 hours away this time last year. So I've only lived in Glendale for about a year. And I play soccer, I write poetry, I'm involved in debate club and art club at my school. Other than that, not too much.
quite a bit for a 10th grader. So I spoke about your poetry, and that's the reason why I brought you in.
Right.
Could you share a poem with us, something that you'd like to do, just something special, one of the ones that you've shared with me?
Yes. So I have a poem that I wrote on Father's Day. My relationship with my father is a bit strained, one could say. He lives across the country and we don't really speak too much, so on Father's Day it was sort of a hard day for me and I decided to write about it. So it's called This Is Me Trying to Say I Love You. Father, Dad, Hayrik, this is me trying to say I love you. I know you haven't heard it from me often since you left, but I've been busy stitching myself up and cleaning out my heart. I do love you, but it's just those words sometimes burn with fear as they tumble from my lips, as if saying them will make you leave all over again. I'm still not sure why such a gentle phrase leaves such a bitter taste in my mouth. This is me trying to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry for not calling, I know I should, but what do you say to someone who once knew so much and now knows so little? When we speak, I try to talk about school, sports, boys even, but it feels as if you are distant, drifting away. You're 2,000 miles away, but your brain is millions, and I don't know how to reach you. I should try harder, yes, and every day I do. This is me saying I know. I know what it's like to fight with yourself all day long. I know what it's like to not want to leave the house. I'm sorry you were plagued by a host of monsters. I know it was hard. I know it is hard. This is me saying I forgive you. I am done being angry with you. I forgive you for not returning my call on Father's Day, not sending me letters back, not responding when I reach out. I forgive you, and that feels so good to say. It's hard being angry at the person who raised you. This is me saying I still read your notes. I have a box jam-packed with your love, and when I feel the lack of your presence, I fill it with notes from kindergarten you slipped in my lunch bag. They make the sharp lines of your absence less harsh, more soft, each time I read them. This is me saying I miss you. I miss you, Dad. Something reminds me of you every day. Today, on a day where I'm plagued with images of strong father-daughter relationships, I miss you the most. But it's okay. In the future, I will read this to you. We will cry. We've been apart for so long, so we will cry, but it will be okay because we'll be crying together. This is me saying all the things I've held back. I'm sorry it took so long.
Wow. Thank you for opening up. Jeez, yes, for a poem, and you gave me like so much. What a beautiful piece of writing. What happens when you write these? What does it do for you?
For me, it's definitely a release. It's nice to not have to hold everything in, and even though you're not, you know, telling a person, you get it out on paper, and it's not as bad as it was before.
Does it bother you that there may be a chance that he might not read this? Or he might not get it, let's say?
Yeah. Yeah, I think about that sometimes when I read it, but you know, even though it is about him, it's not all about him. It was good for me to get it out and write it and release all the bad emotions.
Let's talk a little bit about that release, because that's interesting. As a young person, a lot of people go through life with a lot of baggage that they haven't released. Now, here you are at 15, ready to release. You're releasing through your writing, but interestingly, in that poem, you got to this theme of forgiveness.
Right.
What is that forgiveness to you? What does that do to you?
Quite honestly, it's very exhausting being angry and upset and feeling bad, especially when it's about, you know, a father figure, parental figure. So, for me, it's always hard, of course, but it's necessary if I want to sort of heal and stitch up the wounds that have been dealt to me and just move on to greater things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that whole concept of forgiveness, of release, I would imagine that as much as you're forgiving him, there's an opportunity for you to be forgiven.
Yeah.
It kind of plays into that reciprocal kind of movement.
Right. Yeah, I would like to hope so.
The yin and yang of life. Okay, father figure. Let's move to a big father figure.
Right.
At least everybody talks about him as a father figure. Would you share with us that poem that you shared with me a few days ago?
Yeah.
The one about God.
Mm-hmm. Dear God, I read my mother's journals, many to you, and couldn't believe her faith. She trusted you up until the end. Where were you when she died, abandoning her after years of loyalty? Dear God, when they talk about you, they always say him, and you're always white in the stained glass pictures. I wonder if my image of you is wrong. I wonder if seeing you as a woman, maybe not white, is odd. I wonder, I doubt, that I can be part of a church that fuels the power and reign of the white man. Dear God, I went to a vigil for Orlando at a church, and I heard your name more times than I heard the names of the victims. People cried. We didn't even know the victims, and we cried. Where were you when they died? Was it a punishment for their genes or simply a mistake? Do you make mistakes? Dear God, I watched as my dad grew ill and lost faith in you, and I wondered if you still cared, if you even exist. I find it hard to believe someone is looking out for me when it seems that I attract pain, chaos, damage. You wrote off my dad. You left him to suffer within his mind, and you made me watch. Dear God, I have spent so many nights alone, crying, begging. I have begged you for help and gotten silence. Where were you? Why didn't you answer? I've heard the saying that God gives his toughest battles to his strongest warriors, but honestly, I don't feel like a warrior. I feel like the dust kicked up behind the warrior's feet. Dear God, it's hard for me to believe in you. I'm rational, logical. I believe in data and evidence. There's no evidence for you. It's hard for me to trust in something I can't see. Where are you? I don't believe in you. Not yet. But dear God, do I want to?
You leave me speechless. This is the second time I've heard that, and it just hits me really deep. Mm-hmm. Can I start from the end? Why do you want to? Why do you want to believe in this God?
Honestly, I'm not totally sure yet. I think it's a beautiful thing to be able to have faith in something more than you. Mm-hmm. And I think being able to have a relationship with some kind of spiritual figure can be really, really rewarding and important in life. And I think one day I would like to have that type of relationship.
Even if it's a white old man? You've been going to the wrong churches. You got to come to Armenian
right,
churches.
Right, yes, I know. That part is just sort of me being rebellious, yeah. Like always, but I do think it's an issue that, I mean, not the specific church, but churches throughout history haven't been super accepting to women or people of color.
Absolutely.
You know.
So. Orlando, or what's going on in the world, right. These situations. God's absent. Certainly in your life, you've given us two examples where, you know, in your personal life, you've been looking. And so yet we hear these strong reinforcements and belief in God. Mm-hmm. We hear people getting up. Last night I was watching the DNC and a couple of the people who were Trayvon Martin's mother or a couple of others got up.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
All they did was they talked about God being strong and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So are they stupid, or what do you think?
No, I don't think they're stupid at all. I think, again, having that type of faith and that type of relationship, even when it seems that you shouldn't, I think it's wonderful. I think, for example, Trayvon Martin's mother, I think of how strong she is and how amazing she is that she can get up and still talk about him in a positive way and, like, understand that, you know, even though maybe God looked the other way that day, that doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't exist.
Right. How about the idea that maybe just as the images that we've been presented of a white old man, perhaps the image of God being a Superman is maybe the wrong image that we have?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I think that image of
swooping down out of the
sky
and stopping the bullet right in the way, right? Yeah.
I think, yeah, I don't think that really does much good for anyone, really. I think it's really important to, you know, leave it open to interpretation and leave.
Your poetry just has such a beautiful flow that it kind of makes me wonder, like, in the process as you're doing this, are you writing these while you are going? Are you in turmoil when you're writing these? Are these just flowing things? Are they? I'm going to ask you about the mechanics of
right.
How do you put together a poem like this?
Generally, it is right in the time of emotion and turmoil, as you put it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I will go back and revise them if, I don't know, my handwriting is sloppy or there's some flow in it that I don't like, but generally it's just written in the moment. I I sort of like it that way. I think it can convey what you are feeling in that moment.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people will abandon the whole thing at some point. We'll see so much negativity and they'll say, well, okay, let's abandon. It's interesting that you continue this search and you're looking, and definitely I think at your age too, you have a lifetime ahead of you.
Right.
I always feel bad for people who, you know, have kind of like weathered through life and haven't been able to find it maybe in that search. Do you think that eventually you say that I would like to find you, God? Is that wishful? Is that, do you think that, well, obviously it's wishful, but is that something that you think you will attain?
I think so. I think I still need time and experience and more poems to write, definitely, but
I hope so.
Yeah. I like to think one day I'll get there.
Oh, you talked about your mother having this incredible faith, and from what I know, you didn't really have too much time with her.
Exactly.
Did that come through to you in DNA? Do you feel like it's a little part of you? Do you think she lives in you in some of this poetry?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, recently I discovered some of her journals from basically all throughout her life, and constantly, ever since she was very young, she wrote to God, about God, just her experiences, what she wanted, what she was aiming for, and yeah, I'd like to think some of that has carried on to me. It's a nice thought that I carry her with me in some way.
Yeah. Well, I'm not supposed to be biasing, but yeah, definitely. You've got it. You've got it in there. What about, you're a young person. You see the world around you. Go outside of yourself. Okay, this terrible things are happening all around the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, yesterday, a priest beheaded right at the altar.
Yeah.
Do you have hope for humanity? Do you have hope for that we're gonna, we as a people? And I would like to know. I mean, here I am, you know, four or five decades ahead of you,
uh-huh.
and I'm heading towards the twilight years. You're starting the thing. Is there hope?
Some days it seems like there's not, but overall, I think, yes. And it seems very weird to say that, because a lot of things that are happening make it seem like, you know, there is no hope, that we are pretty far gone, and, you know, how do we reverse it?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's possible. I think if we come together and work together and fight really, really, really hard, then we can get things done and we can change things.
I'm going to throw out a unique image of God that doesn't get talked about enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just like your reaction to mm-hmm. that, okay? If I were to tell you that in our understanding, in Armenian Orthodoxy, God is love, does that work? In your, if you were to substitute in there, where are you, God? Do you then have an answer?
I don't think that covers all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think God in some way, yeah, definitely is love, but I think there's so much more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. When I think about these terrible things that happen, I don't think God is just absent or just, you know, out on vacation whenever they happened. I think that God is accountable for some of things, not love things, not lovely things, not kind and nice and warm things, but
there's a word you don't hear with God, you know, like God is accountable for that. I mean, this is part of the trip that you're on, you know, and I just really admire you for being so candid with your thoughts in your poetry and with us over here too. I really thank you for making some time, and this is going to make a beautiful segment for our show. Parting shot, anything that you'd like to say? Oh, that's...
I think thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me discuss and share, and I hope that someone out there, even if it's just one person, can maybe relate a little bit. I think that would make me very happy.
When I called you to come in, I told you there's a lot of people, because believe it or not, the biggest question I get is like, where is God?
Right.
And that, for me, has been something that has plagued me all my life, because my grandparents went through a genocide. Exactly. Where everybody, if they lost faith in God, you wouldn't blame them. You'd just say, okay, yeah.
Understandable.
But it was just the opposite. They had more than I'll ever have, you know?
Right.
And so I always struggle with this issue too. What keeps people going and believing? And that idea of love, I think that being able to see the people after these tragedies come together and really unite and share their love is one answer for me.
Yeah.
So I'll throw that out too.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, it was a delight having you. I wish you all the best and good luck, even though you're going to UCLA, which to our distant listeners, I've got to tell you, it's a nightmare just getting there, besides going there. You know, it's like on the other side of town, and LA traffic doesn't do it well. Tell me about Pokemon. What level are you at?
I am currently level 15.
No way!
Yes. And actually, just recently, my Flareon hit level like 1,000, over 1,000. So, oh.
Have you taken over a gym yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Hoping to.
Well, our listeners probably don't know what some of them do. But thank you for teaching me that too, okay?
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a great having you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
What did I tell you? Somebody who's going places? Somebody who gets it? What a wonderful young lady. I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I enjoyed putting it together. Just a fascinating individual who has so much to offer, and I know she's going places. God bless her. Here's Susie to tell you what we're up to.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, and thanks to all of you who are listening, who are being supportive of this podcast. You know, we got a lot of work ahead of us. We do it through the In His Shoes mission, by placing our feet in the shoes of others. We've been talking about a lot of outreach programs coming up in the next few months. And of course, you know, we have an extravaganza of outreach programs that take place toward the end of the year. It's always of us being able to put our feet in the shoes of others, to feel their pain in a very beautiful expression that Armenians have, tzavatanim, to understand the pain. First, you need to experience the pain. You walk in their shoes, walk in the shoes of the others. And your support for this ministry goes a long way. It provides for that ministry. It provides for this podcast, getting out the message, getting out the message of Armadoxy, providing for the equipment and all the stuff that Susie tells you about. Even, yes, nobody's nice to us. They even charge us for that cloud storage. All kinds of expenses. If you see your way to making a donation, please go to our website, inhisshoes.org, and press on the donate button. Most importantly, please keep us in your prayers. I want to call it a day today, and I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Tiana.
and get in touch with us. I'd love to hear what you have to say. You can drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net. Really easy to remember. It's apostle with an E. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding multiverse. Hey, you can also connect with us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, all kinds of ways. Yeah, it's the In His Shoes address, @InHisShoes on the Twitter feeds, and as well as on Facebook. Hey, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, I want to thank you for joining us. Thank you again to Tiana and to her Uber driver, very special lady. For Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Ross Ken, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off, but I'm top limits.